east to Ainsworth?
You'd have to ask a neighborhood representative that. I don't know the answer.
Okay, because there's a restaurant. If you go east, that you hit a restaurant across from Ainsworth and an antique store and some other things. If you go west, you hit an intersection with a gas station, a convenience store, and other things. So I'm just curious.
No.
Pardon me?
Just a gas station.
Just a gas station. I'm sorry. So is that all within the...
I can speak to that.
Okay.
The gas station is zoned R10. The Vista Springs Cafe is commercially zoned, but again, that space with a CM1 zoning cannot suit a grocery store based on parking, ingress, egress considerations for a grocery store, or a small format grocer, or even a deli grocery combo, multi-tenant grocery combo.
Okay. And is the neighborhood represented by someone else in this, or are you?
I do not represent the neighborhood. The neighborhood is here to testify.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Really interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
So next we have other opponents who will each have 3 minutes, and Carla has a list.
Carla, how many do we have signed up?
We have 22.
Okay.
Colleagues, does anybody else have the packet that was referred to?
No.
I show the first three as John Newman, Aisha Lorenz, and Bill Failing.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is John Newman. I am the co-president of the Southwest Hills Residential League. There are two presidents. I'm one of them. Nancy, the other president, will be speaking today as well. We are the neighborhood association that overlays the Patton Street property. To say that 2855 Southwest Patton Road has been a critical commercial, historical, and community hub to the Southwest Hills would be an understatement. For over 100 years, the former Strohecker's Market has been an important focal point for the history and character of the neighborhood. Myself and many of our neighbors purchased our homes in the neighborhood knowing that this property would be protected as an amenity-based, walkable retail node for our community. Swirl has followed this matter closely and testified at both May hearings addressing specific comp plans goals point by point on why we feel that the application is off balance. We've also proposed and offered to collaborate with the owner to find an agreeable solution that meets the neighborhood's, landowners, and city's goals and needs. In the past month, Swirl has worked hard researching and talking with residents to try to find a middle ground solution we believe will best represent both the neighborhood and the landowner's need for a viable property. The Swirl Board's position is to support the removal of the grocery store only and 24 related conditions in exchange for a new mixed-use grocery condition with the goal of ensuring some neighborhood retail space on the property, which CM1 does not require. Such a condition should include square footage dedicated to a small format grocery store, and we've just heard expert testimony about the viability of such a format in our neighborhood. Additional square footage should be dedicated to other small shops that sell foods and services, such as a coffee shop, bakery, or cafe, but not offices. We are willing to discuss reasonable new conditions with experts, and we'll be, in fact, presenting some viable scenarios put together by an expert today, and I believe that those were just referenced as being in your packet. The 1984 ordinance and amendments represent a consensus between the neighborhood, the city, and the landowner that this property is integral to the livability of the Southwest Hills. They were put in place to ensure that this property would remain a retail amenities-based benefit to the community. We believe a new consensus can be reached. We thank you for your time and your attention to this important matter that has significant impact on the livability of the Southwest Hills neighborhood.
Thank you. May I ask you a question? You've put a fairly specific proposal on the table. If you have an opportunity to share this proposal or discuss this proposal in any way with the applicant?
I do not believe that we have had the opportunity to share a specific proposal with the applicant.
Okay. Do you know if the applicant has seen this proposal?
I do not believe they have.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
Can I add one more?
Yes, sir.
So we've been working, you know, we're all volunteers and we all work in the neighborhood, and we've been working diligently over the past few months. And so a lot of this has come together, and we've come to consensus just in the past few days. So this proposal was hours and hours of long. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
And do you have it in writing? Is that in our packet somewhere?
Yeah, it's right. Yeah. The top.
The top one. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I, Aisha Lorenz Al Said, I'm Secretary for SWRL. I have a personal interest in this retail location. In 1909, my grandparents, Anne and Max Lorenz, German immigrants, camped in the woods below Strohecker's and slept in a tent until the log house near Periander was built. My father was born at their house on Upper Drive. What a convenient place to camp, live, raise a family, and shop for your food staples right in the neighborhood. Walking the area was as necessary as it was a pleasure. I'm the third generation of the Lorenz family to live in this neighborhood within walking distance. And now my granddaughter is the fifth, and we are anxious to make use of the neighborhood amenities. In 1984, the city agreed to change the Strohecker store zoning from R5, single-family residential, to CN2, commercial, allowing a significant expansion of the Strohecker's family grocery with neighborhood support. City Council agreed to impose conditions of approval limiting the site for use as a grocery and not allowing further expansions that would increase the building footprint. I believe my father, son of a contractor, was very involved with that. This was, as in effect, a binding contract that gave the property owner permission to erect a larger building up to a specified size, and in exchange, the neighborhood was assured that an invaluable asset for the community would remain. In early 2016, the grocery closed. The property owner applicant, Southwest Hills LLC, acquired the property in January of 2012 and was admittedly aware of the limitations specified in the 1984 ordinance at the time he purchased the property. The applicant is requesting conditions be removed, asserting that they effectively deprive the property of all economical viable use with an unsubstantiated single claim that he has done his due diligence to prove a grocer is not a viable tenant. This request for elimination of all conditions in the ordinance would allow a wide variety of uses at a greater development intensity without any suggestion of what ultimate use will be proposed. The site is currently zoned CM1, which allows for commercial, mixed use, or residential only. It does not require any neighborhood serving retail component, though it has served as a one-stop shopping, offering a variety of services at the heart of our community, including a post office, pharmacy, espresso bar, bakery, deli, and liquor store. A grocery enjoyed success on this property for almost 114 years. From 1902 until 2016, the times and grocery landscape have changed substantially throughout the century, which is why this review is a timely approach, revisiting its future preservation.
Thank you, and perfectly timed. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, fellow City Council Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. Most of you know me already, and I'm on the SWRL board. I'm also a fifth-generation Portlander, and my family, past and present, have lived in this neighborhood for over 100 years. City history is most interesting to me. I have recently served as board chair of the Oregon Historical Society, and I'm a strong advocate for preserving those icons which should be preserved. My first memory of Strohecker's goes back to 1944. I'm not that old, though, am I? I have been able to experience its informal community value provided for neighbors, my family, and myself. Retaining space for a food market and retail allows this property to continue to keep its community focus. This property, aligning with the adjoining Portland Heights Park, enjoyed by kids and adults alike, is the perfect catalyst to energize this local community. The city's 95 neighborhood neighborhoods are each unique and should be viewed with overarching goals of the 2035 Comprehensive Plan with a lens that tailors an approach to the assets and deficits of each neighborhood. The council's predecessors weighed in on the value and limitations unique to this neighborhood and valued this property as a resource that cannot be replaced. On multiple occasions, the city has reaffirmed its commitment to protect the option of a grocery store on this site by adopting a new comprehensive plan and tweaking the zoning from CN2 to CM1, a comparable zoning designation that allowed development limitations to remain in place. As council chose to affirm the very provisions that the applicant is challenging here, that decision should be entitled to significant, if not decisive, weight. The current CM1 zone allows a broad range of options, from one single-family home, multifamily housing options, a commercial, retail, service, restaurant, or office use, or some combination of these uses. The ability to provide commercial, retail, or service uses with the same intention, scale, and variety that previously served the neighborhood will be difficult, if not impossible, once the use of limitations are removed. The hearings officer offered a fair and balanced review of the bulk of the ordinances, however, failed to recognize the singular value of this resource to the neighborhood. He also concluded that the removal of all ordinances would, on balance, satisfy the comprehensive plan policies, which would be impossible. Our desire is to protect the designation that has proven suitable for grocery stores in the past and update the conditions reflective of the changing grocery landscape so that it may serve as an asset to the neighborhood in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Are Mark Vandeveer, Jonathan Ader, and Dwight Stegner.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners. My name is Mark Vandeveer, and I'm a retired software engineer. I live at one of the 551 residences in the Southwest Hills that are within 1/2 mile of the Strohecker site. I've lived my current address for over 30 years, and I was a regular shopper at Strohecker's. And ask me at the end of my presentation as to why I think Strohecker's is no longer there, please. Okay. I believe we can all agree that most of the land use restrictions concerning the Strohecker site are either antiquated, irrelevant, or now superseded by current code. However, the hearings officer's finding around Ordinance 155609, which is the one that restricts the use of the Strohecker site to a grocery store, was flawed. It's the neighbor's assertion that the value of the commercial site as a scarce resource to the neighborhood was not weighed properly against the criteria set out in the 2035 Comprehensive Plan. And specifically, the 2035 Comp Plan requires, in Policy 4.86, neighborhood food access. And the policy states, encourage small neighborhood-based retail food opportunities such as corner markets, food co-ops, food buying clubs, and community-supported agricultural pickup drop-off sites to fill in service gaps in food access across the city. That's the perfect description of what the Strohecker site is all about. It's a fill-in sort of site. It's not a center, but it's vitally necessary for the neighborhood in terms of food access. The applicant's proposal to eliminate any requirement for a grocery store at the Strohecker site is in conflict with this policy, and the hearings officer was incorrect in concluding that the applicant's proposal is supportive of this policy because the proposal doesn't promise any food access, and as a matter of fact, it promises nothing. So we have a condition where we're actually trying to remove all restrictions on the property but not offering anything in return. The hearings officer did find that, given the unique nature of the site, the City Council could impose conditions requiring some form of commercial development on the site, either exclusively commercial or as part of a mixed-use development. In addition, the Council could require some form of food-related use, a small market or restaurant, as part of any commercial development, unquote. The neighborhood implores the Council, you folks, to exercise its discretion in this matter and require access to fresh fruit at the Strohecker site. Now, I also want to point out that I put in a six-page analysis of the hearings officer's decision, contesting 17 points in that particular document. And I encourage you to read it, because I did mail it to the council clerk here, so you should have it in your packet. All right?
So why do you feel Strohecker's didn't make it there?
Well, I think Strohecker's became a high-priced thriftway, and they did not adjust with the times. At the end, they had very poor produce, very poor meats, very poor selection of grocery items, and they simply were not trying very hard.
Thank you. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you. I'm Jonathan Ader. I've lived about half a mile from Strohecker's for 20 years and in the neighborhood for much longer than that. Practiced law for 50 years and am now retired as the senior partner at Ader Wynn. I'm here to really affirm what several people have said, and I have submitted some prepared testimony in the packet. The gist of it is that the evidence submitted by the applicant is that they can't find an exclusive grocery tenant. That evidence doesn't support the fact that a multi-use retail is not viable on the site. And particularly, I'm paraphrasing a bit because of what we've already heard. I hear the neighborhood saying we're open to some kind of multi-use retail requirement. There's no doubt that the council has the ability to impose conditions on the property. That's what we have heard. That's what your city attorney has told you. That's what the hearing officer, in the language that Mr. Van Buren just cited, essentially invites you to do. And I think if we look at the balancing, which the hearing officer did, he went from a finding that it was weighted too heavily for an exclusive grocery to a finding that you don't have to have any retail at all. That's not really a balance. That's a complete tipping of the scales. Your challenge is to get to a balanced result. The neighborhood is willing to do that, and I would be happy to entertain some questions. I do want to say, though, as just a neighborhood mobilization prospect, the fact that you have 1,170-plus people stepping up and signing, saying, we want to work to get something plausible here, is meaningful. I've never been in an effort that's quite this well supported. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor, City Council members, my name is Dwight Stegner. I'm a resident of Southwest Portland. I grew up less than a mile from Strohecker's, and I remember visiting the store with my family as a young child. As I got older, I was able to make those trips on my own to meet my friends there for snacks and ice cream after school and during school vacations. A grocery store and the ancillary services on that site made a critical contribution to the character and livability of the neighborhood. It acted as a community gathering place at a scale sized to fit the surrounding residential neighborhood. In responding to Comprehensive Plan Policy 5.6, requiring that the city promote and enhance the social character and identity of Portland's designated commercial areas, the applicant doesn't give significance to the 114 years that a grocery store contributed to the neighborhood. Instead, it focused on the past 2+ years of the building vacancy. A grocery store contributed to the character of this neighborhood as evidenced by the support of the neighbors and those who supported the grocery store, regardless of whether that property sat vacant for a period of time before a new store user was identified. It doesn't change the fact that this treasure could be lost forever. In many places, the applicant states that the health and social benefits resulting from the grocery store are no longer realistic because of market changes, and they're no longer viable. However, economic viability of the use is not recognized by the comprehensive policy plan or value for guiding planning decisions. Land use planning, we hope, would be about making decisions that further the health, the safety, and the welfare of our communities. The nearest neighborhood commercial services are 1.7 miles away at Burnside and West 23rd. It's 500 vertical feet down the hill. And the 2035 comprehensive plans includes a number of topics favoring grocery, local access to food, neighborhood community identity, social services, and economic benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please, Carla.
Are Lauren Danahy, David Olson, and Nancy Seaton.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Do you want to go ahead and start?
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Lauren Danahy, and I'm a registered nurse who works with senior citizens as a director of nursing in a local and small assisted living and memory care community. I'm coming to you today from that lens. I am aware of how important it is for senior citizens to be able to walk to a local grocery store for their weekly groceries. Many seniors lose their ability to drive, and the layout of our neighborhood with its many hills is arduous to walk safely further than their neighborhood grocer. The elevation gate of nearly 500 feet is also problematic for access to the next available grocer, which is Zupan's. An article from the AARP states the average length of time that folks live past the point of their drivability or their ability to drive is 5 years for men and 10 years for women. Our bus service is limited to commuter hours in the early morning and evening and not frequent enough to provide adequate travel options for seniors. The grocery provided fresh prepared foods and the opportunity to socialize and connect with the community. Socialization is an important factor for our seniors and for everybody, as they often become exceptionally depressed due to lack of interaction with others. The city has crafted thoughtful guides to safeguard this at-risk community. The comp plan guiding principles provided the following. Increase access to complete neighborhoods. Complete neighborhoods are places where people of all ages and abilities have safe and convenient access to more of the goods and services needed in daily life. These are places where they can get to grocery stores, schools, libraries, parks, cultural experiences, and gathering places, safely on foot or by bike, and make it easier for people to have active lifestyles and integrate exercise into their daily lives. Excuse me. Build city greenways, a network of safe, accessible, and attractive streets, trails, parks, and open spaces can make it easier to make healthier lifestyle choices. This network complements complete communities by encouraging active living, community interaction, and nature in neighborhoods. Walking, biking, and using public transit become the easy choice. I want to point out that this property is adjacent to the park, but as well, the 4T trail goes right by there, and we highlight that as one of the places to visit in Portland. Growth and mobility coordinate transportation and land use strategies along corridors to accommodate growth and mobility needs for people of all ages and abilities. I hope that you will take our senior population, which is very dense and high in that area, into consideration when evaluating removing the condition for access to healthy, fresh food and community hub. Thank you for your opportunity this afternoon.
Thank you for being here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks. I know you miss me terribly. I'm David Olson. I was your cable director for 30 years. It's great to be back at the chamber. This property has special meaning to me because I lived in Portland Heights while I was finishing law school, starting my career, in the apartment previously occupied by Bud Clark. And I regularly shopped at Stoickers, was active in neighborhood, both as a resident and as a precinct committee person, one of the most thankless jobs ever. Portland Heights remains one of my absolute favorite Portland neighborhoods, with a history and ambience distinct, memorable, bound up with the city of Portland itself, clear back to the trolley to Council Crest. My testimony is to point out the hearings officer findings did not respond to the provisions of the comprehensive plan, specifically a number of the goals and a number of the specific planks. In terms of goals, it doesn't really address goal 3A, city design for people, 3B, respecting climate hazard resilient urban forms. I do cable, so I rattle off land use a little less, like off my tongue, but focus growth, goal C. Carrie, the attorney, mentioned human environmental health. Stroker's, as you all know, also represented walkable scale in a place that's a desert for it, and a street environment, a unique street environment supported by a park, supported by people who love to walk up there. Lots of elderly and lots of people coming up renting rooms. And the whole town center concept and markets in town centers. Comprehensive plan speaks to that. Finally, neighborhood food access has already been mentioned here. That's goal 4.86. The role of town centers need to serve the needs of surrounding neighborhoods. Comprehensive plan talks about that a lot. This is the place and really the only remaining place in this historic neighborhood where that can occur. These neighborhood centers need a mix of concentrations of development, employment, commercial, community services. You all talk about that in the comprehensive plan. This is a chance to recapture that. Finally, in this set, active gathering places, Strohacher's was always that. Any of you who went into Strohacher's in its declining years under Thriftway saw the process of it dying. Any of you who walked in there saw it die. Because the Lamb's Thriftway megastore had about as much relevance to Portland Heights as the whole grocery warehouse does. It just wasn't working. So the comp policy refers to other gathering places. Portland Heights itself is a landmark in and of itself. Historic Portland neighborhood, this is the heart of that neighborhood. And housing diversity. The notion that the neighborhood doesn't support housing there is wrong. Nobody wants to roll the clock back to 1984. They all support that. Let's just put a neighborhood center there where it belongs. In conclusion, please don't remove the conditions and cut out the neighborhood. That's what you'll do if you ratify the Herring's offers. Remove the condition, you'll cut out the neighborhood. I was here in 1984 in this chamber when the neighborhood spoke with the council. I'm honored, happy to be here again. Please reject that opinion and keep Portland Heights the distinctive place it is, the heart of historic old Portland. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, councilors. I'm Nancy Seaton, co-president and land use chair of the Swirl Neighborhood Association. I'm one of those stubborn people who hates to drive if I can possibly walk anywhere, and I always walk to Strohacher's for groceries, the pharmacy, for the post office, to meet friends for coffee. It's difficult now for many to have to drive to multiple places to run their errands and find those services, and I'd be so happy to have them back in the heart of the neighborhood. I'm going to talk about commercial scarcity in the neighborhood. The city's comprehensive goals should be applied with sensitivity to each neighborhood's unique assets and deficits without bias. Portland Heights' greatest deficit, individually and comparatively, is the lack of commercial property to support the livability of the neighborhood. The applicant's attorney, Rodler White & Park, states in their June 7th letter that while the neighborhood believes that this commercial site is unique, there's not a compelling reason to treat it differently than other similarly situated CM1 zones elsewhere in the city. In fact, this property is one of only two commercially zoned CM1 sites within the neighborhood, which does make it unique compared to the rest of the city. As you can see in the data in your packet, the data shows that Southwest Hills, when compared to other neighborhoods in the city, has one of the smallest percentages of commercial mixed-use property within its boundaries, only 1% to provide for goods and services per the 12.2 goal. It ranks 13th out of 95 neighborhoods for commercial property. The hearings officer refers to goal 12.2, enhancing variety, which preserves easily accessible neighborhood commercial nodes, and states that the site serves as a commercial node within an otherwise relatively homogeneous residential neighborhood. What he fails to state is that it's the only commercial node that could accommodate this development. The stated purpose of the commercial mixed-use zones in the comp plan is to support access to food and services in a healthy, walkable neighborhood. There's a good chance these goals would not be met without protection for retail use at the site. City Council's predecessors acknowledged the value of neighborhood serving retail and the limitations this neighborhood faces. To ensure the scarce resource is preserved here, we recommend that new conditions of approval be crafted to allow for a reasonable amount of retail space as part of future development to include a small format grocery and shops and services. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, all three of you.
Next three are Dale Farr, Blythe Olson, and Adam Lamott.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start?
Actually, I'm going to be in the middle, I think. Thank you.
However you'd like it. Thank you.
John, I can go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Mayor and City Council, I'm Dale Farr. I've been a resident of Portland Heights for 45 years in various types of residential conditions, from small apartments to houses I've designed, to big houses, small houses, back down to little apartments, and moved away and come up back again, because Portland Heights is a special place in Portland. For those 45 years, I've also been the head design partner at Fletcher Farr Iyett Architects, and I take a special interest in the neighborhood and especially the area Strohecker's and around it. I have no problem myself in a multi-use development with housing, except I think it really needs to have the condition that there is some component of retail included. I was the designer of Orengo Station, which again is different, but it's a large mixed-use development. And there was nothing there before, and it was one of those things. They didn't have stores. They didn't have anything. It was design it well, and they will come. I believe the developer, if the project is developed and designed properly, that retail will come there, because I think they need the pictures of what's going to be there. They need the actual things. Right now, it's kind of amorphous sort of thing, trying to talk to retail and other users for that property. You're not involved in design review, I know, but if this went, and I'm not sure, because of where it is and the zoning, whether it is included in the design review process. Does anybody have any knowledge of that?
The planner behind you is shaking his head.
That does worry me, that it is not part of the design review process, and that what could go in there would not be compatible, not fit. That, I think there's potential here for, I think Strohecker's, having seen it over the years, was not really a very well-designed store, and it did not fit in as well as it could have with the park, with the neighbors. I think the opportunity is there to really enhance the neighborhood with a well-designed and well-scaled project. So if there is no design review, I hope the developer takes that into account when he does do his development. And again, I ask for a condition be added so that there would be some small or large portion of retail potential.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners Fritz, Salzman, and Fish. My name is Blythe Olson. I'm a 26-year resident of the Portland Heights neighborhood. I've been deeply involved in the changes with the Strohecker site, as I personally know neighbors from decades before me who have worked to preserve this site for the best use of our community. I circulated a petition, a statement for City Council, starting at the beginning of this application process, to try to determine what the neighbors' wishes were and to gather their support for retaining our voice in the whole process of any changes that take place there. This included a lot of door knocking and many conversations with neighbors throughout the neighborhood. The petition has had overwhelming support from neighbors, with over 1,150, 70, something like that. Signers as of yesterday, which is why we're here today wearing these blue and yellow buttons saying 1,000 plus strong, just a general number. I'll read you the statement that we have this many endorsers for, and that is this. And this is what unifies us all. We, as residents of the Portland Heights neighborhood and nearby, respectfully request the following. Any modification of allowances slash restrictions on development of the historical Strohecker's grocery property should not be approved by the Portland City Council until Portland Heights neighbors have been consulted and allowed a meaningful opportunity to review any development proposal. Such proposal should recognize the distinctive character of the neighborhood, address the need to restore a retail grocery and ancillary services, mitigate possible parking and traffic impacts, and preserve the integrity of the adjacent Portland Heights Park. The hearings officer was placed in a position to speculate findings without having a meaningful development to respond to and analyze thoughtfully. A conclusion void of a plan compromises the city's goals being applied appropriately. The city should consider some conceptual development proposal to make this analysis meaningful and weigh which goals apply to this valuable resource, in absence of which a decision should not be made. Should there be a decision, we hope Code 33.130.050A and 33.130.050B will provide a voice for us in the process. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you for hearing us today. My name is Adam Lamont. I've lived in Council Crest for about 4 years. One of the reasons that my wife and I chose this neighborhood over others is because of the Strohecker store. Us neighbors have collectively launched an online survey to solicit the thoughts and feelings of the neighbors most impacted by development of this Strohecker site. The response was overwhelming, with 516 households taking the survey. The results show that the majority of neighbors would like a retail-only or mixed-use development that ensures a grocery component. Retail services and community-focused use for the development is preferred, and safety with access by foot and by bike are important. Increased traffic congestion resulting from the new use development is also a concern. One of the things that we put on the survey was a chance for people to put in a little bit of their own opinion. So I thought out of the 170 or so that I would boil it down to just a few choice ones. This is one. Stroh's was a place we could all walk to. Losing it means getting in our cars to do any little thing. For this reason, loss of retail services is a major step backwards for the many people's health, for the neighborhood, and for the city. Another one. I am just really hoping that we can make this space truly benefit our community in the future and provide a grocery store for our neighborhood, especially during snow and ice. Walking 4 miles round trip to overpriced Zupans simply isn't sustainable, is another one. It's damn near impossible to get downtown and back to get groceries during the worst parts of the winter. I had no idea how good we had it with Strohecker's. And another. Hoping for just a place to walk to, something to buy something. Coffee, ice cream, baked goods, drinks in the evening, to eat, to meet others, a reason to take a walk. Another one, I have deep experience in commercial real estate, private equity, and would be happy to provide a balanced opinion as someone who lives 2 blocks from Strohecker's yet also fully understands the obsolete zoning that is currently in place for the site. In my opinion, a mixed-use plan that activates retail along Patton while enabling the owner to build multifamily apartments or condos, which would provide demand for the on-site retail and possibly provide for additional community amenities, is our best bet. That's all I have. Thank
you.
Appreciate
it. Thanks to all three of you.
Of course.
Next three, please, Carla.
We got some changes here.
Yeah, no worries.
The next three are Greg Ewer, Eric Lawrence, and Randy Miller.
Because of the findings, so are we going to deliberate like we normally do, or is that get postponed to another hearing?
We'll see what the time is.
Okay.
And we'll have the opportunity.
Okay, please. Let's go ahead and go with Paul Kennedy.
Then.
Oh, got three here.
More complicated than usual.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Mayor and City Council members, my name is Greg Ewer. I'm a homeowner in the Southwest Hills area. We believe the hearings officer recommendation that a trip cap be imposed is premature, without a development to consider. A reasoned traffic plan can only be crafted with an informed plan. We are concerned if a trip cap is retained that it will limit the potential use for the community. We understand the necessity of not imposing undue burden to the owner and hope there is a solution that can weigh the community need for mixed-use grocery and the potential for diverse housing should that be the desire. We engaged Winterbrook Planning, who drafted realistic scenarios within the trip trap criteria to prove viable options that serve the interest of the owner and the community. We hope that is weighed in your decision to apply a condition to the property. We would be remiss if we did not point out that the intention of the owner in this matter is to remove limitations while also requesting a limitation that could potentially prohibit true commercial retail services for the neighborhood. We understand that PBOT is moving forward with adopting new transportation standards, the alternative mobility standards, that would eliminate the need for a trip cap. The alternative mobility measures will allow the city to identify smaller cost pedestrian or bicycle improvements that will make up for the additional congestion caused by the proposed use. As there is not a development to directly respond to, we would ask a trip cap not be imposed in light of future change, and if a trip cap is necessary, we would ask for a trip cap self-destruct condition that would invalidate it when the new alternative is available. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Mayor, City Council members, my name is Eric Lawrence. I'm a Portland metropolitan native. I'm a husband, father of three. I'm a business owner, and I'm a resident of the Southwest Hills. Our thanks to each of you for your dedication and service to the city, evidenced by the applause, I believe, coming from the street for the good job that you do.
I think it's just the heating system turned on.
Oh, is that what it is? It sounded like applause to me, so I'm going to roll with that if that's okay. We have important issues in the city of Portland to work on, and the work you do is invaluable. On the surface, this issue is really truthfully a small thing. It is just another development project in a city besieged by development. But in our neighborhood, it is so much more. There are only two zoned retail properties within our neighborhood serving over 2,000 households. Is it a scarcity that we cannot afford to lose? And the city, in support of the comprehensive plan and strategic goals, cannot allow to slip away. The 2035 comprehensive plan contains specific provisions to protect lands suitable for grocery stores and for the local neighborhood commercial nodes, which keep our communities connected. In 1984, our neighborhood ceded an existing residential limitation in favor of a limited retail grocery limitation to ensure a valued community connector and scarce resource remain in perpetuity. The city reaffirmed that commitment to this neighborhood in 2016 with the adoption of the comprehensive plan and subsequent zoning designations. The hearings officer was unduly positioned in their report to conjecture, applying city code to, in the absence of a development proposal by the owner they could thoughtfully respond to. The report leaned too heavily on the only expert testimony provided, which we have shown to be fundamentally flawed. The report simply did not weigh the importance of the site as a scarce resource to the city and to the neighborhood. There is no scenario where these policies, which encourage local access to a grocery store, will be met to an equal or greater degree if these restrictions are removed. One of the most important takeaways today in many regards is having a voice. If the council votes to support the property owner's request to remove all development conditions on the site, the neighborhood could lose its voice. We could lose an essential tool available to negotiate responsible development of the site, which matches with the community's needs and reflects the strategic vision of our city's leaders. We support the removal of the grocery-only zoning and 24 related conditions in exchange for a new mixed-use grocery condition to include a small format grocer and retail mix so we can maintain our scarce neighborhood retail space. We have been and continue to be willing to sit down as a neighborhood and discuss reasonable conditions with experts, which would be fundamentally beneficial to the neighborhood, the city, and the owner. We ask for our chance to have a voice, and we remain 1,000-plus strong. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. I'm Randy Miller, Mr. Mayor. Commissioners, appreciate being here. I'm also a Portland resident, kind of a business guy with a diplomatic position as well. And not to let Bill Failing upstart me, I'm also a fifth-generation Oregonian. And also of all my life, within 5 years, I guess, I've lived within a mile of Stroeker's and very familiar with it. I've totally switched around what I was going to say because everything is going to be redundant and you've heard enough facts. But what I want to talk about to you is how other cities aspire to be like us and why. And most of you know I've been leading these best practice trips. Some of you have been on them, and we've gone all over the city and all over the world. And when we go to these different places, it's amazing how well-respected Portland is. And so they're very prepared when we get there to have some dialogue about what it is that's make us special and what they aspire to be like us. And it's been very, very instructive. And, of course, a lot of it has to do with certain themes. And the same ones come up everywhere about how much they know about Portland. Real quickly, environmental stewardship, land use, urban footprints, urban transportation, our metropolitan form of government, our PDC being not a bureau but necessarily a semi-autonomous agency, and they all know about this, the 20-minute neighborhood concept. They're just overwhelmed with that. And that's how it relates to this, because in the 20-minute neighborhood concept, with being as close as we are to that Stroeker's property and the ability to get the neighborhood services as well as food, of course, that is the major driver for this whole thing. And with that concept comes, of course, the sense of community. And all of you have probably read Robert Putnam. Everybody knows about Robert Putnam, who's a sociologist and the former dean of the Kennedy School, who writes about civic engagement. And he puts Portland at the very, very top of the heap because of our ability to bring people together. And also for civic engagement, which is one of the qualities of Portland here that is among the most important elements that we possibly have. So as we take a look at all this and what we aspire to do, it is, I think, significant because that is we have been so fundamentally successful with this concept and what we're trying to achieve that other cities all over the place are looking to aspire to be just like us. It says something because we have something really special. And this Stroeker's property proposition and proposal underscores everything that that's all about. So, thank you.
Thank you. It's good seeing you. Thanks, all three.
Thank you.
Next three, please, Carla.
Our Paul Kennedy, Marilyn Eichinger, and Sharon Van Buren.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Councilman.
Carla, one more.
Paul Kennedy.
I don't think Paul is speaking today.
Okay, thank you.
I live quite far from Stroeker's. I live by Healy Heights Park. So when I need something from the store, not having Stroeker's, the plaid doesn't carry eggs by OHSU, so your choice is Food Front, New Seasons, or Fred Meyer's, or Zoo Pants. So it makes a whole lot of driving. And during the inclement weather, we could walk to Stroeker's and get milk. But now, you know, we can't walk to Zoo Pants in the ice or Food Front. So I would wish that you'd really consider the availability of food for the neighborhood. And that's all I have to say.
Very good. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Thank you for listening. I'm Marilyn Eichinger, and I've lived on Sherwood Drive for the past 35 years when I was brought to Portland to run OMSI. My concern, in part, has to do with the lack of respect being given to a legally executed deed. People sold property with honored encumbrances for ownership of lumber, oil, and mineral rights for centuries. In this case, the property was sold to an out-of-state individual who was cognizant of the restrictions that made the local citizens the beneficiary. Mr. Stroeker, whom I knew the community benefited by having a local grocery store, a place within walking distance of most houses. He also knew that a multi-story building would add to road congestion. The question I raise, however, is what right do I have to sell my property in a way that benefits my neighbors? How can I know that my gift will be honored? When land and building were given to the Episcopal Church near Military Road, it was stipulated that the Elk Creek Gardens, also known as the Bishop's Close, would remain open to the public. The deed was honored, and hundreds of people benefit every year by it. Why shouldn't Strohecker's property be treated similarly? Mr. Strohecker was community-minded, going out of his way to bring specialty foods and drink into the neighborhood. He treated his customers with love and caring. His place was a center that served us during snowstorms, when homebound, and when we needed a cup of coffee or ice cream cone. He advised us about wine and organized food events that brought neighbors together. It's not surprising that Lamb's Thrift Way could not succeed. My guess is the rent was too high. Nobody knows what it is. It was more than necessary, probably, than to return a decent profit. But the store did not sell quality merchandise. People do have a right to make a living, but just because they want to maximize earnings does not mean that they should do so on the backs of a settled neighborhood. People who live in this area are the deeded recipients of the sale. We demand that the city honor Mr. Strohecker's encumbrances. The new owners have been playing a waiting game. They knew the restrictions when they purchased it, and it was only a week after they purchased it that I was told the process that they would go through in order to get the restrictions lifted. I don't like it. I certainly do not believe that the hearings officer had the community's interest at heart. And over again, I'm worried that the city is not paying attention to the local community. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Both
thank
of you.
Thank you.
The last three I show who signed up are Sarah Bachman, Walt Crate, and Norman Hotz.
And is there anybody else who thinks they signed up and their name has not been called? Okay, very good. I guess you get the last word.
Okay, it's always a rotten place to be between the people conducting the hearing and your coffee or wherever you're going after this. So I'll make this short. I want to pick up on what Randy Miller said about civic engagement and address two issues that were alluded to by Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fritz. I'm a newly minted NET volunteer, and I want to bring you up to date with the development in our neighborhood. I live about 25 minutes walk from Strohecker's up on the hill, and until recently was taking care of my mom, who died just short of 90, and my dad, who died at 93. And it was extremely important to me, both as a caregiver and a NET volunteer, to be able to get to emergency services that were closer than the emergency services that we currently are closest to. They're now the closest emergency caches of medical supplies are at Bridal Mile and Ainsworth. Far too far away for me as a caregiver to get to by foot if I was my parents were still alive. So I've been working with Father King at St. Thomas More to bring together some emergency supplies there at St. Thomas More, closer to where 110 houses are at the top of the hill. Before Strohecker's closed, Strohecker's was our closest emergency meeting place. When it closed, the NET volunteers had to move their emergency meeting place down to Ainsworth, farther away from the people in my neighborhood. So that's a kind of untold story about the importance of Strohecker's and the adjacent park to our neighborhood in a way that Portland is commendably building an ability to bounce back from a very large earthquake or other emergency. With regard to Commissioner Fritz's concerns about parks, the park, good news, is very well used and is becoming more well used over time. And I would hope that any restriction would be placed on the use of the property adjacent that would allow cars to park there where they have always parked for people who are using the park. And I've run out of time. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Very good. So thank you, everybody who testified. Legal counsel, at this point, could you give us a frame?
The last remaining is the applicant has the opportunity for rebuttal for 5 minutes if they
very
would
good.
Like to.
And then what comes next?
So what I would anticipate is today that counsel would have some discussion of, I guess you would call it almost straw pulling or developing some sense of where counsel wants to go, and then directing staff to work on revised findings, a revised ordinance, and to the extent counsel decides any revised conditions.
Prior to that, I'd like to have staff come back. I have some questions for staff.
Okay,
after,
very good.
After the applicant.
Very good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
If you could just state your name for the record,
yeah.
Again, please.
Christy Carlson-White for the applicant. I'll make my rebuttal as quickly as I can in under 5 minutes. First, the legislative action of 2035 did not reaffirm these conditions. Nothing in the record establishes or supports that fact. Two, in fact, the code requires this process and this process only for removing the conditions. Food Front and Green Zebra were both approached for this property, provided all the marketing materials, and declined. The prior grocer was allowed to reduce rent to stay in business, and that still didn't save that operation. Specific user restrictions are not precedented, even in an annexation. A zone is the restriction, not a specific user within the zone. And we have heard a majority of opinions here about grocery, about retail, about a single residential home. There is a divergence of opinions. We've been asked to pre-design a project before we come through the comprehensive plan and zone change process, which is not a requirement of the code, but we understand all of the thoughts around that, and they seem to boil down to this idea that it is very hard to lose Strohackers. It's very hard for us to change that fact. We haven't been able to change it for years. But the neighborhood still wants some access to retail in this particular project. So listening to the testimony, my applicant can accept a condition of some minimum amount of retail square footage that would be dedicated on the property through the building permit approval process. And again, this is a minimum. What we think we can make at least market feasible is 1,500 square feet of retail. If you compare that across the market, that is a bagel shop, it's a cafe, it could be any other small retail use. Again, this is a guaranteed minimum. It is not a maximum. The CM1 zoning would, of course, allow us to exceed that, and the trip cap would allow us to exceed that. So it is something that we're willing to propose because we understand at least the neighbors that have testified today believe they would be able to access that retail and support that retail. Another point, the hearings officer's decision where he was cited here as saying that the council could require some form of food-related use, a small market or a restaurant as part of commercial development. The last half of that quote is, however, as the current application demonstrates, such site-specific conditions can reduce future flexibility for development on the site as shopping habits, consumer preferences, and market conditions change over time, and the CM1 zone properties are not subject to these restrictions, allowing the local economy to determine the best use. And lastly, what's great about the new CM1 zone in terms of design is that it comes with design standards. So there are new design standards under the CM1 zone that speak to neighborhood compatibility and design of the project, which is a good insurance mechanism for the
the architect who spoke about design. The scale is 1.5 to 1, so you can go a little higher than that if you build affordable housing, but the base is 1.5 to 1. And then lastly, there's a new community outreach requirement in CM1 zoning, so that prior to submittal of building permits, you're required now, where usually you weren't, to go to the neighborhood, review your proposal, and then submit your building permit. With that, I'll close.
Very good. Commissioner Fritz.
So it seems clear that we have consent.